Boy, it got kind of quiet all of a sudden. Good morning. Nice to see all of you. Hope you're having a good Father's Day, especially the fathers and grandfathers and great-grandfathers, but even if you're not a father, hope it's a good day. Glad to see all of you here, and we're glad to have all of you who are online participating in class. This is our study of the book of Daniel. This morning we're in chapter 7. I hear music. It's like a music box. Which reminds me, I probably better turn the ringer off on my phone. Uh-oh. We've got a 28 verse chapter we will read to get us going this morning, so I need four readers. And who would like to be the first reader doing 1 through 8? Anybody want to read 1 through 8 of Daniel chapter 7? Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. See, my secretary down here is reminding me we have a review quiz. I'm excited about Father's Day. That must be it. That's going to be my excuse anyway. What's that? The donut, yeah, that's what it was. The sugary donut, sure. And then I washed it down with coffee. And I put a little chocolate milk in the coffee. It's a wonder I can think it all. Review quiz. The story of Daniel and the lion's den takes place about, and that would be the year. Anybody remember the year? 538. 538, very good. And the story of Daniel in the lion's den takes place about 538 under the kingdom of the blank and the blank. Medes and the Persians. Or if you've seen Oklahoma, Persians. Daniel is one of the top blank administrators. There's a number that goes in there. How many top administrators? Three. Top three administrators. Yes. That's what the other 120 were called, I believe. Satraps, yeah. Let's go back and take a quick look at that. Three commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them. Yes. 120 satraps in chapter 6, verse 1. And I thought, you know, English-wise, that's a funny-sounding word. Doesn't sound very dignified, but you go back and look at the original text, the name or the word means provider. So these men were to be providers for the provinces over which they ruled. And Daniel was to be over one of those three men put over them. All right, so Daniel is one of the top three administrators and is about to be promoted over the blank kingdom. The entire kingdom, the whole kingdom, whole shooting match. Now, I know this is just review, but think about it. What do you suppose Daniel ever thought would happen to him when he was being taken off into captivity against his will? Traveling from Jerusalem to a foreign nation into which I'm pretty certain he'd never been before. I doubt he ever had any imagination that I'm going to be top guy one of these days. And it wouldn't even be the nation that took him into captivity. It would be the next nation down the road. But there we are. This is how God works in people's lives. And I believe it's how he works in each one of our lives. He'll bring you to a place you never would have thought you would have been if you simply stay faithful to him. It's always going to be better for you when you're faithful to the Lord. And the one moment when we will realize the benefit of faithfulness is when Gabriel blows his horn for the last time. And then we will know for sure it was all worth it. Number three, some who do not want Daniel to receive this promotion devise a plot by getting the king to agree that no one can pray to any blank or blank. God or man, can't pray to any god, can't pray to any man, besides the king for blank days, 30 days. Number four, Daniel has the custom of praying blank times a day, three times a day, with his window open toward Jerusalem. He decides not to change his practice. Number five, the king reluctantly sends Daniel to the pit of lions, but when he comes early the next morning, Daniel says that God has sent a blank to protect him. A blank angel. A white angel, I guess. Blanco Angelos. To protect him because, or Angelos Blanco. Which one is it? Spanish speakers. It's Blanco. Okay, yeah. Color first. No. In Spanish, it's, I didn't mean to turn this into a Spanish class. I find it interesting, the differences in languages. You put the car first, the car red. Yeah. Right. Or Bronco means four-wheel drive. It's pretty close. I'm sorry? Or wild horse. You'd have to be a cowboy to think of that. An angel to protect him because he was innocent. Number six, name a representative God sent to each of the following ancient empires. The Empire of Egypt, who did God send there? Moses. Assyria? Jonah. Put Jonah down for the emissary to Assyria. He was sent to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh, which was the capital of the Assyrian Empire. And when he preached to them, what did they do? From the king on down, they repented, so to speak, in sackcloth and ashes. And if the question ever comes up, was God only working with the Jews? Well, point people to the book of Jonah. No, God had an interest in all people for all time. He always has had. There were priests prior to the law of Moses. There was practice of religion before the law of Moses. We don't know that much about it because we frankly don't need to know, but it was there. Anybody who wanted to be faithful to the Lord had a way to do it. I'm confident God's always provided that, and that seems to be what the scriptures are showing us. All right, Egypt, Assyria, and then Babylon, Daniel. And if you want to put Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego down there too, you could do that. They were witnesses for the Lord God Almighty in Babylon as well. The Medes and the Persians. Also Daniel, but who else? Esther. Young lady named Esther. And of course her uncle, Mordecai. To the Romans, God sent Paul. And that's where we find him in the last chapter of the book of Acts. Still in prison at Rome, talking to the cohort that is there. All right, there is our review. Now, first, let me ask Brandy, is there anything else I need to do before we read? All right, we're good. Thanks. 1 through 8. Who wants to read 1 through 8? All right, Janie. And then 9 through 14. Who wants to take that part of the text? All right, 9 through 14, 15 through 22, Brandon. All right, and then I'll finish this up with 23 to 28. All right.
Chapter 7.
Chapter 7. And in this ear, it was sounding okay.
In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel saw a dream and visions of his head as he lay in his bed. Then he wrote down the dream and told the son of the matter. Daniel declared, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up out of the sea, different from one another. Then as I looked, its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the ground and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and the mind of a man was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second one, like a bear, it was raised up on one side. It had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, Arise, devour much flesh. After this I looked, and behold another, like a leopard, with 4 wings of a bird on its back. And the beast had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrifying and dreadful, and exceedingly strong. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and broke in pieces, and stamped what was left with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another horn, a little one, before which 3 of the first horns were plucked up by the roots. And behold, in its horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things.
I kept looking until thrones were set up, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like pure wool. His throne was ablaze with flames, its wheels were a burning fire. A river of fire was flowing and coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands were serving him, and myriads upon myriads were standing before him. The court convened, and the books were opened. Then I kept looking because of the sound of the boastful words which the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was killed, and its body was destroyed and given to the burning fire. As for the rest of the beasts, their dominion was taken away, but an extension of life was granted to them for an appointed period of time. I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, one like a son of man was coming. And he came up to the Ancient of Days, and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion, honor, and kingdom, so that all the peoples, nations, and populations of all languages might serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which will not pass away, and his kingdom is one which will not be destroyed.
As for me, Daniel, my spirit was distressed within me, and the visions in my mind kept alarming me. I approached one of those who were standing by and began asking him the exact meaning of all this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. These great beasts, which are 4 in number, are 4 kings who will arise from the earth. But the saints of the highest one will receive the kingdom and possess the kingdom forever, for all ages to come. Then I desired to know the exact meaning of the fourth beast, which was different from all the others, exceedingly dreadful, with its teeth of iron and its claws of bronze, and which devoured, crushed, and trampled down the remainder with its feet. And the meaning of the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up, and before which 3 of them fell, namely the horn which had eyes and a mouth uttering great boasts, and which was larger in appearance than its associates. I kept looking, and that horn was waging war with the saints and overpowering them, until the Ancient of Days came up and judgment was passed in favor of the saints of the highest one. And the time arrived when the saints took possession of the kingdom.
Thus he said, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom on the earth, which will be different from all the other kingdoms and will devour the whole earth and tread it down and crush it. As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings will arise, and another will arise after them. And he will be different from the previous ones and will subdue 3 kings. He will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One, and he will intend to make alterations in times and in law, and they will be given into his hand for a time, times, and half a time. But the court will sit for judgment, and his dominion will be taken away, annihilated, and destroyed forever. And then the sovereignty and the dominion and the greatness of all the kingdoms under the whole heaven will be given to the people of the saints of the Highest One. His kingdom will be an everlasting kingdom, and all the dominions will serve and obey him. At this point, the revelation ended. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts were greatly alarming me, and my face grew pale, but I kept the matter to myself. All right. One of the most intriguing chapters in all the Bible, I think. This dream that Daniel has. Who had the previous dreams? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream about an image. And how many parts did that image have? Four parts. And the top part represented the kingdom of Babylon. And then came another kingdom, which was Medo-Persia. And then another kingdom, which was Greece. Another kingdom, which was Rome. And that fourth kingdom, though it was iron, it had feet that were part iron and part clay. And so there was a stone cut out of the mountain without hands, and that stone hit the image on those feet that were weak with iron mixed with clay. And it toppled, and the stone ground it to pieces, and the dust blew away. And that stone became a great mountain. So we're seeing the same thing here in chapter 7. There was another vision, of course, another dream that Nebuchadnezzar had, and he turned into an animal. But that was all about Nebuchadnezzar and God being sovereign. And you go back to chapter 4 where it talks about that. It keeps repeating this idea that God is sovereign, and he's the one who puts the basest of men over nations. I think we can relate to that over the past couple decades in our country. You make your choice and you see some of the people who are in charge. Yeah, God put some pretty base people in charge. Well, when you stop and think about it, that's none of us are worth shooting. What did Jesus say? Call no man good. Even when you do everything you've been commanded to do, you're still a what? An unprofitable servant. So somebody's got to be in charge. And that's what God does. But in the midst of all these kingdoms, what's God going to do? He's going to set up his own kingdom. And that's what chapter 7 is showing us, how God is going about doing that in the midst of and in spite of all these other nations. So let's go to our worksheet, which looks complicated. That's a judgment call, isn't it? It might not look complicated to you. I'm cheating because I have what's called a cheat sheet. All right, you've got one of these, right? It's like a chart. You look at that top left square, and there's a blank. A blank came out of the sea. A lion came out of the sea. If you look at ancient archaeology regarding Babylon, you're going to find the image of a lion several times. Babylon used the image of a lion to represent itself. And so Daniel has this vision of a lion coming out of the sea. And then you go across to Daniel's interpretation, which is in chapter 7, verse 17. It's a kingdom which will arise out of the earth. And further interpretation is that that kingdom is Babylon. It arose, went down, fell in. Now, the year was 538 when Daniel was put in the lion's den. But who put Daniel in the lion's den? What king? It was King Darius of the Medes and Persians. And this is right after Babylon had fallen. So in 539, Babylon fell, and the Medes and Persians took over. Eagle's wings. You look at those images, and you'll see eagle's wings on a lot of those lions. And those wings were plucked off. It was lifted from the earth and made to stand as a man with a man's head. It's supposed to be head. What would that be about? Well, that's chapter 4. Remember chapter 4 when Nebuchadnezzar went down on all fours? He was turned into a beast for 7 times. Don't know how long that was, but it was long enough for him to raise his eyes to heaven and regain his senses and glorify God. And when that happened, what did God do? He lifted him back up, put him back on the throne, and so that's what we're seeing in this vision. Daniel chapter 7 and verse 5, what comes out of the sea but a bear? Yes. No, that's not in the dream. But the when you go down to the third square, lifted up from the earth. So in the dream, in the vision, we're transitioning from this lion that represents Babylon. And he's seeing, I believe, Nebuchadnezzar as representative of that nation. And he was turned into a beast. And then when he realized that God was sovereign, God raised him up. And so he's showing us that it's actually a man in that context. It's Nebuchadnezzar himself. Good question. All right, a bear comes out of the sea, and Daniel 7:17, the interpretation is that this is a kingdom which will arise out of the earth, and this next kingdom is going to be the Medes and the Persians. So that's the further interpretation across to the right from Daniel 7:17. The next world kingdom was the Medes and the Persians, and by the way, that kingdom fell in 331. Fell to the next kingdom, which would be Greece, but we're not quite to Greece yet. So Daniel 7:17 talks about a kingdom which will arise out of the earth, and all these kingdoms are rising out of the earth. These are earthly kingdoms, not the heavenly kingdom, but the earthly kingdom. The first one is Babylon. This one, 7:17, is Medes and the Persians, and that came to power in 331. Says it was raised up on one side, Medes and Persians, two national powers in this kingdom, but one of those kingdoms was stronger. That was the Persians. And so the bear was raised up on one side. And what did it have in its mouth? Ribs, 3 ribs. It was devouring other nations as it went along. The kingdom of the Medes and Persians was much larger than that of the Babylonians. These nations keep expanding, keep eating up the earth. It said, arise and eat much flesh. And so the Medes and the Persians, you could write in that block over way to the right under further interpretations, it controlled more territory than the Babylonians. It arose and it ate much flesh. So you've got a lion, and then you've got a bear. And what's coming next in Daniel chapter 7, verse 6? A leopard. And it says of the leopard, he had 4 wings like a bird. Daniel 7:17, there in the middle, the interpretation, this is another kingdom which shall arise out of the earth. Same as the first two. Babylon was a kingdom from the earth. Medes and the Persians were a kingdom out of the earth. Now, Greece is a kingdom from the earth, of the earth. Over in the further interpretation, you can write about Alexander the Great and the empire that he had. He died in 323 B.C. And you remember, any historians remember what happened to his kingdom when he died? It was divided between four of his generals. So it went to four places. Four wings like a bird, and this leopard had four heads. We might wonder, why in the world are all these weird-looking creatures being pictured for us? Well, there's usually something being messaged to us, something being sent to us. I don't know that it was ever intended that somebody would read this when it was given to Daniel and figure out what's going to happen in the future. What did Daniel say he did with this once he got it? He kept it to himself. God didn't say, this is a dream for you to publish to everybody. He got this dream and he kept it to himself. But now we read it and we see God was showing us that he was in control even then and was telling us what the future would hold. And so this is what we're seeing as these kingdoms expand. He's already showed us that with Nebuchadnezzar's dream in chapter 2, but he's showing it to us again with a few other details. Four wings like a bird. If you go over all the way to the right from that, under further interpretations, this was a fast-moving and ferocious kingdom. Alexander went out with his armies, and he conquered fast, and he moved all the way across to India. Huge empire. And after his death, this is the last block at the bottom of the page on the right, his empire was divided among four generals. Any questions? Any observations? Any alibis? All right, second part of the graph. Daniel 7 through 8 in verse 11. This is a fourth beast that comes out of the sea. Daniel 7:17, same as we've written each time before, a kingdom that's going to arise out of the earth, an earthly kingdom. Top block over to the right, under further interpretation, this is the Roman Empire. It was the next major world power, and it fits all the qualities that are described in Daniel's dream. As you have written there, it's terrible and powerful and very strong. And it conquered everywhere it went. How far did they reach to the north in Europe? Up into Great Britain. You ever heard of Hadrian's Wall, Norma?
I thought it was strange that he didn't relate this to an animal. He had done the previous three animals he had related to this. But the fourth one, you know, he just said it was a beast.
Yes. There's no particular description. The first one was a lion, then you've got a bear, then you've got a leopard. And this just says a fourth beast, great and terrible, which when you leave it to your imagination, you can always think of something worse than the reality. And so he didn't give us any particular picture or image of a beast. He just said a fourth beast. And then he describes the qualities of that beast. What are the qualities? Great, terrible. How does it say here? A fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying. This is chapter 7, verse 7. And extremely strong. It had large, what kind of teeth? Iron teeth. Where did you read about iron before? Chapter 2, in the image, the legs and feet of iron. Represented Rome, so we've got iron again, iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Now, that's not the kind of 10 horn you hear about in the westerns. That's a marshal who's not getting much respect, but this is actually 10 horns. When you see the word horn in the Bible, you're often looking at the idea of power. On God's altar, on each corner, was a horn. Horns were fashioned out of gold, put at each corner of the altar. And there's power there. Horns always represent power. God says, I'm going to raise up a horn. Well, I'm going to raise up power, raise up authority. As you see what it says on your chart, this is a diverse beast, different from all those that were before it. And if you go all the way over to the right, you could put down that Rome ruled more people and lasted longer than the others. And if you go to Revelation 13, you can see that this beast is pictured as being made up of all the others. And this is what happened, and it makes perfect sense that when you conquer a nation, you incorporate that nation's wealth and its resources into your own nation, and you use that for your own benefit. And that's what the Revelation shows us, as the great beast did this, just like it's being shown here in Daniel. Ten horns, ten kings. In the middle column, ten kings are going to arise. That's what the ten horns mean. And this most likely represents the first ten emperors. If you start with Augustus and then you count them down, you'll have ten. And the last three of those historically reigned for a very short time. I think all three of them reigned within a single year. And then the 11th horn comes and knocks them all out. So you've got seven primary horns. And the 11th, I know this will sound weird mathematically, but if you read Daniel and then read Revelation, there is the 11th, which is also the 8th. And I know this is in accordance with history of the kings, but in Jewish numerology, seven is complete. So what is 8? 8 is a new beginning, starting all over. And if you read Revelation and you look at history, you'll see that that fits very well with Domitian. John sees a vision of a beast that was and is to come. And that beast in Revelation represents the persecution of the church. It was, they were being persecuted, and it's coming back. But with Rome, it was based on who the emperor was and what the emperor wanted to do with regard to the church. And one of the greatest persecutors of the church to begin with was Nero. Perhaps Paul and Peter both died during Nero's reign. But after Nero, things settled down. There wasn't much persecution until Domitian arose. And he began to persecute the church. And so we're seeing this picture in Daniel of this beast that speaks out against the saints of the Most High and punishes them, persecutes them. But in Revelation, we see there's a break in that persecution, but then that beast arises again, and he's represented by the 8th, which is the new beginning of the persecution. Oh, yes.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I don't know what you're saying exactly. The 11th king in Daniel is Domitian, and the 8th king in Revelation is Domitian as well.
What did you say about Domitian the first time?
It's the 11th king in Daniel.
Oh, yes. I believe so.
And in Revelation, it's the 8th king is Domitian.
Yes.
Okay. Because the way I understand it is because those three short kings, we really didn't count them as kings because they were such a short time, and Domitian wiped them out anyway, so really he was good.
Yes.
They weren't really verified, I don't know what the words are, as true kings. They were just in power, they were like they never did really get power.
Right, they were insignificant. But if you're looking at it from Daniel's perspective of what's coming in the future, you're going to count those. Of course, Daniel wasn't in charge of the dream. He was just getting the dream. But God is saying, you need to know that there were these three horns that were there, but they're going to be displaced by the 11th horn. And then when you get to the Revelation, well, it's already happened. And so you're seeing what's been done. Where are we here?
That middle one represents
middle one where we've got after them another blank will arise, another king will arise, different from the earlier ones. He will subdue three kings, and he shall speak words against the Most High. So we're talking about a king. Previously, we're just looking at kingdoms that rose and conquered nations and took territory, but now we're looking at a kingdom who has a ruler who speaks out specifically against the Most High, which is interesting. What have we heard from Nebuchadnezzar about the true and living God? You better bow down and worship him after he got his mind straightened out, or else we're going to require it of you and you're going to be punished under the law. That's what Nebuchadnezzar concluded. What did Darius do? What did he conclude about God? Same thing. He loves Daniel. He's got this relationship with Daniel that had to start in that 1 year's time, so he found out real fast, this is a guy I can trust. This is a guy I can depend on. He's got character. He's got integrity. But what does he do? He worships God. And he did not worship God in such a way to make himself odious to other people, like sometimes you see some folks who are they're trying to follow the Lord, but they're really obnoxious and irritating people. Can I say that? Have you run into some of those people? It's true. I hate to say it, but it's true. Some folks call themselves Christians, and they make it to where nobody wants to be one of those. Daniel was not like that. He was the kind of man that endeared himself to the most powerful man in the kingdom, who was King Darius. And Darius puts him in the pit because he's been tricked into it. And he stays up all night doing what? He's fasting. He's not sleeping. He's worrying. And he goes there first thing in the morning and says, Daniel, you all right? And Daniel says, sure am. Yeah. I don't know how that translates in Hebrew, but and then what does Darius do? Pulls him out, rounds up those other guys that plotted against Daniel and throws them and their families into the pit, and the lions kill them all. So this is what we're seeing in previous kings. We're not really seeing much yet with the Grecian Empire, but now we're seeing that Rome is lifting its head against the church and God's people specifically. John?
We hear about the pit. Different people have pits that they've done that. How big are the pits? Obviously, they're deep enough that the lions can't jump up out of there. But if we're talking, is it coffin size or a pretty good size? You know, nobody knows, right?
Nobody knows. It's a... Well, have you read much about mammoth caves? Mammoth caves were initially, when they found them, they realized, oh, that's a big hole in the ground, but nobody explored it. And then a guy went down and explored it and said, oh, it's 10 times bigger than what we even imagined. Anybody been to that hole in the ground at Silver Dollar City? What's that thing called? I can't remember the name of it. It's just a big hole. So who knows how big the pit was? It's an interesting question, but nobody really knows that I know of. But whether it was man-made or natural, who knows? But there are some big holes in the ground.
Ride it out?
Yeah. Well, I don't know what he rode to get out of there. They probably put a ladder down there, a rope or something, pulled him out. But he got out. God wants you to get out of a hole. He'll get you out of a hole. God wants you to be safe from lions. You'll be safe from lions. All right, farthest over all the way to the right, just to the right of where it says, after them another king will arise, and that blank to the right of that. In Revelation 17, the beast representing Rome has blank heads, and that would be the number 7. In Revelation 17, you see the beast with 7 heads representing 7 kings. And then comes an 8th king who is like one of the 7. This likely represents Roman Emperor Domitian. Domitian, who is probably the 11th or 8th horn here. He set himself up as blank and demanded worship. Set himself up as God and demanded worship. Some of the emperors of Rome did that. Not all of them, but some of them did, and he was one. And he was probably the worst of them. All right. Well, we're not done. We'll have to hold off church. Below that one, blank killed Christians for refusing emperor worship. That would be Domitian. But Domitian's named there as well. He started the most intense persecution the church ever had. And Revelation 12:14 uses the same length of time, 1,360 days, as the duration of the Roman persecution. Eventually, Rome, however, or Christianity, became the official religion in Rome. Isn't that interesting? It took a while, but God's on a different time frame than we are. Back page. Daniel 7, 9 to 10, thrones were displaced, and the Ancient of Days took his seat. And then you go all the way over to the right from that. It says in Revelation 4 through 5, a similar picture is given of the, what would you see in a throne, in Revelation 4 or 5, you see the throne room of God. But what happens in Revelation, or in Daniel chapter 7? The Ancient of Days, his raiment is white, bright white, and he sits on the throne, and who comes before him? Go back and look at it. Daniel 7. It says, behold, looking in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven. Where else do you read about the clouds of heaven? Acts chapter 1. What happens in Acts chapter 1 regarding clouds? Jesus is taken up into the cloud. Isn't that interesting? Holy Spirit says to Luke, Luke, write down that Jesus ascended in the clouds. Because that's what I had Daniel see in his vision and write down, that the Ancient of Days is set up and one comes before him in the clouds of heaven like the Son of Man. Was that a comment? Okay. You can see the fiery flames, the wheels of fire. God is majestic. He's powerful. He's omnipresent. He's omniscient. His rule is universal. Thousands upon thousands attend him. And he keeps records of deeds. Revelation 20, 11 through 15 got the same thing. The books were opened. That's what we see in Daniel chapter 7, and that's what we see in Revelation chapter 20. And the last blank, the fourth beast image is used in Revelation 13 and is there seen to be made up of parts of the other three animals. This is the beast that blanks Christians, persecutes Christians, and is finally destroyed. So 538 B.C., Daniel is getting these visions and has already gotten a vision from Nebuchadnezzar's dream regarding the establishment of the kingdom of God. Isaiah, a couple hundred years before Daniel, prophesied of the mountain of the Lord's house being established where? In Jerusalem. And all nations would flow unto it. And that's what we see in Pentecost. So these prophecies are regarding the establishment of the kingdom of God during the time of and in spite of the nations, powerful nations, kingdoms of the world. So when you watch the news and it looks like everything's out of hand and God has just backed up and lost control, go back to Daniel. Nothing has changed. God's still in power. He's still on the throne. The kingdom, the church, is what is first and foremost in God's eyes. And if you're part of that, you don't have to worry about the rest of it. Don?
We don't have to worry about the persecuted people. What he's trying to say is the church is going to stand overall.
Right.
But we shouldn't look at it as, well, nothing bad's going to happen to me because it might.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to keep trusting God.
Well, we're reading.
They persecuted Revelation, we can get to it.
Exactly.
Lose everything.
we're seeing these visions given to us by a man who was taken into captivity after living through the evil of 50-some years of godless kings in his own nation. I mean, he didn't live through all of that, but that's what we see in the history of Israel. They were godless. That's why they were punished, taken off to a foreign nation. And so, and he's writing about the times when the people of God will be severely persecuted and punished. Revelation's all about that. First Peter is all about persecution of the church. What did Jesus say? In this world, you're going to have trouble. But be of good cheer. I have done what? I have overcome the world. So we belong to the one who has overcome the world and is continuing to overcome. Thank you. Next week, chapter 8.